Coming up on Friday, November 30th, the Chapel Hill Public Library is going to play host to an event called Opening Our Future that is commemorating a very significant event in the history of not just Chapel Hill, but North Carolina, the South, and the Civil Rights Movement. In February of 1960, nine students sat in at the Colonial Drug Store, which is now West End Wine Bar, but Colonial Drug Store then, to demonstrate against segregation and call for the integration of businesses. That was the spark that really drove the civil rights movement here locally in Chapel Hill. And there's going to be a special event this Friday at the library to honor the Chapel Hill Nine. We're joined now in the studio by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library, Molly Luby, also of the library, and Danita Mason Hogan, who is the daughter of one of the Chapel Hill Nine, right, Dave Mason, and also a member of the Civil Rights Commemoration Task Force, which came together to make this event happen. Everyone, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Aaron.
So, Susan, let me start with you. Since the public library is playing host to it, how did it all come together?
So we are so happy to be hosting this. It is happening at the library, but it's really a there are many hands in this project, many town departments, many town staff, many folks from the task force and other groups. So it's a library event, but it's really much larger than that. And it came together, Molly and Danita will talk more about this, but the town wanted to do this work to really dig into the history of the local civil rights movement. And I was so thrilled when they turned to the library and our staff to help lead it. I think that we are recognized as a trusted community anchor who are open to having difficult conversations, to digging for information, and for telling stories. That's kind of what we do. So I was thrilled that the library was turned to help lead this effort.
And Molly, what has your role been?
So I was so fortunate to have been asked by former town manager Roger Stancil and deputy town manager Flo Miller to be the staff support for the Historic Civil Rights Commemorations Task Force that the mayor formed. I think she formed it in September 2017, and we've been working for the past year on collecting stories. And now we're really excited to share some of what we have, some of the stories we've collected, some of the histories that aren't written in any books, that are really important Chapel Hill stories. These aren't stories about a community that has been in Chapel Hill for generations. These are stories about young people doing some really surprising things from positions where you would never expect it. So I think that that's the exciting part. And I really would love to hear from Danita, because she's really the one who got this whole ball rolling.
Yeah, and we're going to turn to Danita Mason Hogan right now. Tell us about the Chapel Hill Nine. What happened in 1960?
Well, in 1960, prior to February 28th, there were four students at North Carolina A&T who really inspired the country, and they did the first sit-in in the country. A lot of students, with the Chapel Hill students at Lincoln High School being one of the group of students, were really inspired by their work, and they were inspired by the fact that their young people took the power into their hands and started to enact on this civil disobedience. So there were a group of students who hung out at the Rock Wall all the time and told stories and thought about the politics and the political situation. Brown versus Board had been passed in 1954, and it had not, the desegregation of the schools had not yet reached Chapel Hill. And they were dissatisfied with the amount of resources that they were receiving at school and the type of books that they had to get, and they were really looking forward to having the schools desegregated so that they could have access to these resources. And it continued to take a long time. A lot of this talk was big in the Black community, and so a lot of people started talking about how that was going to affect their community. And young people were not exempt from that conversation. They were having conversations amongst each other. Older young folk were talking to younger young folk, and they decided in 1960 that they wanted to contribute to the movement once they found out what was going on in Greensboro. And their contribution was to stage the first sit-in at a Colonial Drug Store on February 28th.
And these were high school students, right?
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first group of all high school students who staged a sit-in, which makes Chapel Hill's history a little unique from a lot of other cities. The civil disobedience that happened in 1960 at A&T were from college students, and there were a lot of other situations that happened with college students. But from what we know of, this is the first group that was led, organized, and carried out by high school students.
What was that experience like? I know we have a tendency to kind of celebrate the moments of achievement in the civil rights movement, and especially in Chapel Hill, we think of ourselves as being a progressive community. It was an oppressive community in the 1950s and 60s, and the fight was a very real fight.
Yeah, there were, at that time, and primarily it's true today, that a lot of black people in Chapel Hill are either employed by the university or the hospital. So for the students to decide to take this act really required a lot of courage, but it also required a lot of thought and contemplation, because a lot of their parents and people who were supporting them were beholden to the university for their checks and for their living. So people in Chapel Hill were not really free, or did not feel free, to talk about the oppressive nature that Chapel Hill was at that time. So it really took, in my view, the strength of a youth movement to tell the truth about what was going on and actually try to do something about it. So the climate at that time was very tense, but a lot of black people in that time did not feel comfortable talking about it. So the students at Lincoln High School brought it to the forefront.
Speaking with Danita Mason-Hogan, also Molly Luby and Susan Brown from the Chapel Hill Public Library, we're talking about the Chapel Hill Nine in the context of the Opening Our Future event, which is going to be taking place at the Chapel Hill Public Library this Friday at 7 p.m. Special event to honor the Chapel Hill Nine and launch an exhibit called Opening Our Future, plus trading cards commemorating the Civil Rights Movement, and it's part of the larger work of the Civil Rights Commemoration Task Force, which was organized by the town of Chapel Hill in 2017. And I want to get to the work of the task force, but before I do, to conclude the story of what happened in 1960, the sit-in begins. What then happened? What was the town's response? What was ultimately achieved?
Well, of course, there was a lot of pushback from the town and also from the school system, in fact. But young people have a way of connecting with each other and, I feel, looking for the truth for each other. So that is when the college students from UNC also joined with the students at Lincoln High School and some of the more progressive ministers, like Charles Jones, in the town to combat desegregation. So that's really kind of how the movement started. But the spark, of course, were those nine young high school students at Lincoln.
Why did it start at the Colonial Drug Store?
It's really an interesting story, Aaron, because the proprietor of the shop had a really good relationship with the black community, ironically. And this is where a lot of the young people would gather after school and on the weekends, and had a relationship with the proprietor, whose name was Big John. So they would gather at Big John's place, and I think it had to do with them being very familiar with that spot. But they had to stand in line and have their order taken and were not allowed to sit down in booths. So Big John's became the object of the demonstration.
Mm-hmm. So fast forwarding to today, or fast forwarding to 2017 and the creation of the task force to commemorate these events, which really have been, I think, forgotten or at least not remembered as much as they should. But now with this movement, we're starting to bring it back. And you were kind of instrumental in the creation of the task force. What was your role and how did it get started?
Well, actually, I am a program manager for the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University, and there I work with civil rights veterans. And it's really kind of a concentric story, because I started taking classes at Duke and, in fact, even took this position so that I could learn how to use resources to document history, civil rights history. And so we were working with national civil rights veterans from the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And we were fortunate enough to have them at the forefront of telling their story. So a lot of the work that we've done, and I have to give a special shout out to Molly Luby, who has really just done so phenomenal job with the library and sharing this information with the public. But a lot of the work that we did was predicated off of the work that we did at Duke University with the veteran civil rights actors. And this is important because a lot of the activists during the time of the civil rights movement with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee also felt that their story had not been accurately told. And a lot of times the traditional ways that we collect history is that we focus on the event and documenting the event. And I'm a part of the Center for Documentary Studies Critical Oral Histories Program. And what we do with the Critical Oral Histories is we actually get the actors of the event, and we give them as much say-so and as much buy-in as the people who are actually documenting, the historical, the historians, the archivists. And so we were so happy to be able to develop this partnership. And I don't know of any other partnership like this in the country, but we were able to develop a partnership with the Chapel Hill Public Library, UNC Chapel Hill, the town, and even some of the folks in the school system at Chapel Hill Carrboro, with the people who actually lived the history at the helm, talking about why it happened. And so this was patterned after the SNCC Digital Gateway that we completed at Duke University. And the issues were pretty much the same. The SNCC started as a result of what happened in Greensboro in 1960, and it just really inspired a whole lot of folks across the country to replicate their work. And like a lot of youth-led movements, they did not feel that their story had been properly documented and that they would be the best people to direct primary source information and other things that documented their story. So I just took this concept and brought it back to Chapel Hill, and just am very grateful that to have worked with such an awesome group of people who were so dedicated to following that particular paradigm. And it's just been a wonderful partnership with and this is how history should be documented.
Yeah.
I think.
And that work at Duke leads to the task force leads to this event that's happening on Friday, but also several other things that have already happened that are in the process of happening to document this history. So what else have we already seen, and what else is being done? Molly?
So one of the things that we're going to be unveiling on Friday evening is a large-scale visual timeline. So the initial charge to the task force from Mayor Heminger was to create a timeline of the important people, places, and events of the civil rights movement. Danita so eloquently told how we really developed a collaborative spirit, bringing history makers, historians, community members, and town staff together to work on developing really a model for collecting and sharing community history. And so this timeline that we're going to be unveiling really shows through images primarily this history that hasn't been fully documented yet. So we're very excited about that. We'll see what others think. And then we'll also be distributing trading cards. I think you mentioned those. We've mm-hmm. got, this is a grant-funded project through the State Library of North Carolina. They will be 9 trading cards in honor of the Chapel Hill 9, each one documenting a year, maybe 2 years, of the movement from 1960 to 1969. And we'll also be screening a short video about the Chapel Hill 9, telling just that story. And we have 4 living members of the Chapel Hill 9 who we were lucky enough to have as part of the task force, and who sat down for a conversation facilitated by Danita, as well as Dr. Reginald Hildebrand, who was a leader of the task force. And they facilitated that conversation, and so we used that to create this video.
Awesome. What else do you, and if anyone's listening out there, want more information, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org is the library's website, and there's a whole page about the Opening Our Future event. Again, it's going to be Friday at 7 p.m. at the library. Everyone's invited to that. But what else should people know about the event, about the Chapel Hill 9, about the work of the task force?
So, go ahead, Molly.
I was going to share one last thing. We just, earlier this month, presented our final report to council, to Chapel Hill Town Council, asking for a marker, historical marker, honoring the Chapel Hill Nine outside of the former Colonial Drugstore, that is the today the West End Wine Bar. The owner of the West End Wine Bar is on board with this, so Town Council approved it unanimously. So we will be working on developing a commemorative marker outside honoring the Chapel Hill Nine.
Awesome. Susan?
So I just wanted to mention that in addition to that permanent marker in the place, part of the thinking with the timeline and the cards and the video and the website, which we're going to launch too, right? We're going to totally launch that on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
There's a
You said it into a live
happening.
Microphone, now it's happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is that the idea is that we want the next generation of kids who are going to spark the next movement and are probably sparking it as we speak to get this information and know it. So the idea that schools, community centers, churches could check out this timeline. It's a big vinyl banner. So if you have 6 or 8 feet of wall space and then people can come and see this and then they can take away the cards and have this thing to engage with and think about and then go to the website and maybe share a story of their own. So the idea is that after this, it will go on the road and hopefully be actually at the library very little because it'll be out in the town.
What is the website going to be?
So the tell us, Molly.
Yeah. So the like, what is the URL going to be, first
right,
of all?
So I can tell you the URL, but it is still a work in progress,
and so
I'm a little nervous about sharing this, but I will share it anyway. It's chapelhillhistory.org.
Okay. Very cool.
And the idea being that this would be the first story in it, but we will add on to it.
And then finally, Danita Mason-Hogan, I want to give you the last word. You knew a lot about this going into the project, but what did you learn in the time that you spent on the task force?
Oh, I learned so much, Aaron. I mean, I had heard these stories coming up. Obviously, a lot of the members of the Chapel Hill Nine, as you said, David Mason is my father, and a lot of the members of the Chapel Hill Nine remain friends throughout the year, so I kind of grew up with these stories. But there was a repository of information and dissertations that I went through in preparation for the work of the task force, and it really just uncovered a lot of things that I did not know in terms of how organized and how well thought of this sit-in was during that time. And also reading some of the newspapers during that time and just kind of thinking about the attitudes that were expressed in the newspapers from people that I came up with. It was just very fascinating to learn that from a research perspective as well as an oral history perspective.
Again, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org is the library's website. Go there for more on this event that's going to be Friday evening, November 30th, 7 p.m. It's called Opening Our Future at the Library. Everyone is invited to that. Head to chapelhillhistory.org at your peril right now, but that's going to be expanding and coming into being in the coming weeks and months and years as the work of documenting Chapel Hill's history continues. Molly Luby, Susan Brown, Danita Mason-Hogan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yes.